Chair, I'll come to order. Members may indicate their presence by vote.
There are 16 members present.
Reverend the Chaplain, Reverend Dale Charles.
Let us pray. It must have been more than just in retrospect, Lord, that Moses and the people of Israel felt your hand upon them at the time of the Passover, a hand of deliverance and a hand for freedom. We pray this morning that you would free us in our time from fears of failure, from fears of folly. Help us to dare new things, as the patriarchs and prophets and Jesus did, to try what others think cannot be done. Unshackled from the chains of popular wisdom, we can then explore the land from which you beckon us, upstream. Amen.
Fender, Giver. Fender, Giver moves and asks unanimous consent that prayer be spread in the journal without objection. Prayer be spread in the journal. Certification. Certification of the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 94th legislative day.
Senator Cotilla.
President, there are no additions or corrections. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved and read.
Senator Cotilla moves and asks unanimous consent for the certification of the journal. Without objection, the journal is certified. Introduction of guests. Senator Homan.
Mr. President, I ask your permission to report for the purpose of the election.
You have the floor.
With us today on my side of the gallery is a group of student council members from the elementary school at Bethel. I'll read the names if you'd like while I do. Officers of the student council are President Myra Edge, Vice President Gary Riley, and underneath everything, Secretary Clayton Sparrow, Treasurer Shelley Green, representatives from the council are Carolyn Charles, Elizabeth Green, Kevin Miller, Brenda Sinegat, John Wallace, Frank Peet, Henrietta Venus, Elder Short, Gary Frederick, Kelly Popple, Connie Venus, Barbara McMahon-Driven, Elizabeth Winton, Ann Hutchins, Verna Borrego, faculty representatives, chaperones are the elementary school principal, Alexander Hazelton, Mrs. Harold, and Mrs. Schierbach.
Further introduction? Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, Far Galley is a lady many of us know here to serve in both the executive and legislative branch, and now with the National Guard here in Juneau, Ms. Kathy Fredrickson.
Senator Ray.
We can't eat that music.
Further introduction of guests. Messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor.
Messages from the House.
Message of April 14. The House has passed Senate Concurrent Resolution number 95, saluting Dr. Don M. Defoe, and returned it. This has been sent to enrolling. Message of April 14. The House has adopted the conference committee report on committee substitute for Senate Bill number 310 amended, and House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill number 310 amended by the House, thus adopting pre-conference committee substitute for House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill number 310. This has been engrossed and has been sent to enrolling. Message of April 14. The Speaker has appointed the following members to a second conference committee with powers of free conference to meet with the like committee from the Senate to consider Senate Bill Number 334, enabling a mutual bank to invest in property improvement note not in excess of $10,000, and House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 334, relating to housing, property improvement notes, and security deposits. Representative Greening, Chairman, Representative Parker, Representative Urien. The Senate President has already appointed Senator Rohde, Chairman, Senator Curtula, and Senator Sackett. Message of April 13, the House has passed Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 398, State Affairs Amended, authorizing local assumption of public works, transportation corridors, and school construction projects of the state with the following amendment. House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 398 rules, authorizing local assumption of state projects for public works construction, school construction, repair and improvement, and planning of public transportation corridors, and is transmitted for consideration.
Senator Curtula.
Mr. President, I would move that we accept the House amendments to Senate Bill 398 and ask for vote again.
Senator Curtula moves that the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 398. Is there discussion? You're ready to vote. The question is, shall the Senate concur? As many as favor, say aye. Many as opposed, no.
No.
Those have it. The Senate's failed to concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 398. Secretary will send a message to the House asking the House to recede. In the event the House does not recede, Chair will appoint a pre-conference committee consisting of Senator Ferguson, Chairman Senator Willis, Senator Coletta. Further messages from the House.
Message of April 14, the House has passed the following and transmitted for consideration. Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 366, Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to sales under deed of trust.
Judiciary.
House Bill Number 898, amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to toilet facilities.
Health, Education, and Social Service.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 902 by the Finance Committee, entitled An Act Making a Supplemental Appropriation to the Legislative Affairs Agency and Providing for an Effective Date.
Finance.
There are no other House messages.
Communications.
There are no communications.
Other communications. The United Fishermen of Alaska have indicated they'll have approximately 80 pounds of salmon available after the joint session today. And I will inform the Chief Justice of that immediately before he delivers his speech at 11 o'clock. Reports of Standing Committee.
The Judiciary Committee considered sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 572 relating to children's court proceeding and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute. Senator Ziegler, Chairman, signed do pass. Senators Tillian, Meland, and Miller signed no recommendation. There is no further referral.
Senator Ziegler. Senator Ziegler moved and asked unanimous consent to the Senate Judiciary Committee letter of intent to be made a part of the supplemental journal without objection. The bill will be referred to the Rules Committee.
The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 719, Procedures for Payment of Special Assessments in Home Rule and General Law Municipalities. The majority of the committee recommends it to pass. The report is signed by Senator Rohde, Chairman, concurred in by Senator Tillian. Senator Orsini signed no recommendation. There is a further referral to Finance. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 740, Information on Real Estate Conveyance Instruments, and the committee recommends it to pass. The report is signed by Senator Rohde, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Tillian and Orsini. There is no further referral.
Rules.
The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered Committee Substitute for House Bill 605, Tax Exempt Obligations, and the committee recommends it to pass. The report is signed by Senator Rohde, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Tillian and Orsini. There is a further referral to Finance. The Labor and Management Committee considered House Bill 874, amended, unemployment compensation for vocational training courses. And the committee recommends it do pass. The report is signed by Senator Willis, Chairman. Concurred in by Senators Rohde and Bradley, there is no further referral.
Moved.
The Labor and Management Committee considered House Joint Resolution Number 50, requesting U.S. Congress to increase federal share of funding for occupational safety and health programs. And the committee recommends it do pass. The report is signed by Senator Willis, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Rohde and Bradley. There is no further referral.
Approved.
The Finance Committee considered House Joint Resolution 57, requesting full congressional funding of Section 107, Rivers and Harbors Act. And the committee recommends it do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Butrovich, Sackett, Rader, Ferguson, Chance, and Poland. There is no further referral.
Rule.
We have a letter from the Commerce Committee. Dear Mr. President, pursuant to your instructions to look into the qualifications of the hereinafter enumerated people, the Senate Commerce Committee wrote letters to the following: Susan M. Knowles, Carolyn Guess, Marvin Weatherly, Stuart Hall, all for appointees to the Alaska Public Utilities Commission, Russell Mulder, Alaska Pipeline Commission, James McCorkle, Board of Pharmacy, Jack Maroney and Marvin Taylor, Board of Marine Pilots, Mike Mosesian, Alaska Soil Conservation Board, Elvin Elkins, Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, Nelson Avakanu, Douglas Bailey, Laura Herman, James B. Brown III, all Tourism Advisory Board. The committee has heard in writing from all these individuals, and there are no objections to their appointment to their respective board or commission. The letter is signed by Senator Kutula, Chairman, Senator Willis, Senator Coletta, Senator Bradley, and Senator Ziegler. I have no further standing committee reports.
Reports of special committee?
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of resolution.
Senate concurrent resolution number 99 by all members of the Senate, congratulating Dr. Kenneth M. Ray on the occasion of his retirement from the University of Alaska.
Rules.
Senate concurrent resolution number 100 by the Rules Committee, I believe. It doesn't have any sponsor.
Senator Ray. Without objection, I'll be showing sponsor all members of the Senate.
By all members of the Senate, congratulating Tracy D. Caldor on the occasion of his retirement from state service.
Senator Ray.
I wonder if we could suspend the rules and take that up in quick order and finish it today and the day of his retirement.
We could if there was a motion. Senator Ray moves and has unanimous consent that rules be suspended, that Senate concurrent resolution 100 be made a special order of business at this time. Is there objection? Without objection, we have before us Senate concurrent resolution 100. Secretary will read the resolution in full.
Senate concurrent resolution number 100 by all members of the Senate, congratulating Tracy D. Caldor on the occasion of his retirement from state service. Be it resolved by the legislature of the state of Alaska, whereas Tracy D. Caldor of Juneau is retiring from his position as administrative director for the Department of Public Works, and whereas Mr. Caldor, following employment with the Bureau of Public Roads, began service with the Alaska Department of Public Works in 1960, as contracts officer, and since 1963 has ably served the department and the state in his capacity as administrative director. And whereas Tracy Caldor is retiring from state service on the 15th day of April, 1976, and departs with the best wishes of his department, be it resolved by the Alaska State Legislature that Tracy D. Caldor is commended for his years of service to the state of Alaska and congratulated on the occasion of his retirement.
Your discussion?
Question.
You ready to vote? Question is, shall Senate concurrent resolution 100 pass the Senate? If any is favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any is opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate concurrent resolution 100 has passed the Senate. Further resolution for introduction?
There are no further resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bill.
Senate Bill number 746 for the State Affairs Committee by request, entitled An Act Relating to Fees for Fish and Small Game Licenses for Military Personnel and Providing for an Effective Date.
Resources.
Senate Bill number 747 by the Special Committee on Taxation and Revenue, entitled An Act Relating to Assessment and Taxation of Oil and Gas Properties Assessed Value Surtax and Providing for an Effective Date.
Resources, Finance.
There are no other bills.
Bring us down to consideration of the daily calendar. We have before us second reading, Senate Bill 580.
Senate Bill number 580 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council Subcommittee on Transportation. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $21 million for the purpose of paying the cost of state highway construction projects and providing for an effective date. The Commerce Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute, and if the substitute do pass, the report was signed by Senator Petula, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Willis, Bradley, and Coletta. Senator Ziegler signed no recommendation. The Finance Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that it be replaced with the Finance Committee substitute, and that the substitute be passed. The report was signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Sackett, Rader, and Ferguson. Senators Butkovich, Chance, and Poland signed no recommendation. I have only one finance subcommittee substitute by the Finance Committee.
Senator Ray.
President, I would move an act announcing the Senate
Finance Committee substitute on 580. Senator Ray moves an act consent for the adoption of the Senate Finance Committee substitute. Is there objection? Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 580 by the Finance Committee, an act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $50,360,200 for the purpose of paying the cost of highway, ferry, and local service roads and trails construction and providing for an effective date.
For discussion?
Question.
Ready to vote? The question is, shall Senate Bill 580 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote.
I'm sorry, we're in second. That was secretary of the committee substitute. Senator Petula.
In a hurry, Mr. President, I move an action as consent that Senate Bill 580 be continued gross transfer to the paper.
Senator Petula moves an action as consent that Senate Bill 580 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on the final passage. No objection, we have before us in third reading Senate Bill 580.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 580, an act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $50,360,200 for the purpose of paying the cost of highway, ferry, and local service roads and trails construction and providing for an effective date.
Further discussion. Senate will come to order. Further discussion on Senate Bill 580. You ready to vote? The question is, will Senate Bill 580 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
There are 19 yeas, one nay.
Senator Cotilla.
President,
I'm going to ask
consent
to vote on the bill. Senator Cotilla moves and asks unanimous consent to vote on the bill. Be considered to vote on the effective date clock. Without objection, then Senate Bill 580 with an effective date clause is passed in the Senate. We have before us in the second reading Senate Bill 71. I'm sorry, Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, I'm going to take up
the
matter of consideration of the House Bill number 198.
We have before us in third reading House Bill 198.
Committee substitute for House Bill 198, Finance, amended by the Senate, an act relating to credit for military service and computing retirement benefits for state employees and providing for an effective date.
Any
person?
Mr. President, I move that we move back to the second reading for
action, so we adopt amendment number one.
Senator Ferguson moves unanimous consent that House Bill 198 be returned to second reading with a specific amendment. Is there objection? Without objection, we have before us in second reading House Bill 198.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 198, Finance, amended Senate, an act relating to credit for military service and computing retirement benefits for state employees and providing for an effective date.
Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, I move that the December action is going to adopt amendment number one amended.
Senator Ferguson moves that the Senate rescind its action in failing to adopt amendment number one. Senator Ferguson, you have the floor.
Mr. President, the amendment that was not adopted, many people felt that the cost of this would be extraordinary. After the amendment by Senator Kelly allowed for the employees to pay full cost of the retirement system benefits, this would allow for the National Guard members to participate in this. One of the things that I look at is we have many scouts out in the rural areas that are not the 60-day wonders or what have you. They do serve a purpose. In time of war, they are ordered to stay in Alaska to protect the rural areas. And I'd ask unanimous consent that the amendment be adopted.
Point, we have to rescind the action. Senator Ferguson moves and asks unanimous consent the Senate rescind its action in failing to adopt amendment number one. Is there objection?
Objection.
Senator Tillian objects. Senator Tillian, you have the floor.
This is somewhat awkward because while I do have sympathy for the Alaska Scouts, they're only a small portion of the National Guard. And I really think that there's a basic difference between those that served in the major military and those that I know around my community and here that served for short periods on National Guard status. And I just don't think that they should be included in the union.
Senator Ferguson?
Mr. President, my understanding is, and I may be wrong, this bill will be rejected by the House and going through conference. I'd like for the amendment to be considered in pre-conference along with the other proposed amendments that may be made to the bill. And I would urge members to support this.
Senator Ferguson? I mean, Senator Huber, I'm sorry.
Mr. President, I would urge the Senate to vote yes on the bill now because there is zero impact. And I don't think it's proper to single out the National Guard as not being eligible for it. I would suggest we include it.
Further discussion? The question is whether the Senate shall rescind its action. Senator Fertitta?
I'm not speaking the merits of it, but of course, as we all know, the pre-conference will consider things other than that which is in the bill. It has the power of pre-conference.
Further discussion?
Question.
Ready to vote. The question is, shall the Senate rescind its action in failing to adopt amendment number one? As many as favor, say aye.
Aye.
As many as opposed, no.
No.
The ayes have it. The Senate's rescinded its action in failing to adopt amendment number one. We have before us FAR action amendment number one. Is there discussion on the adoption of amendment number one? Senator Ray?
I would move that we stand in recess for the Democratic Conference.
Senator Ray moves and asks unanimous consent. The Senate stand in recess to call the chair for the purpose of the Democrat Party Caucus. Without objection, Senate in recess.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to recess to call the chair for purposes of the joint session to hear the Honorable Chief Justice address.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent. The Senate stand in recess to call the chair for the purpose of in a joint session. Without objection, Senator Richard. Senator, come to order. Senator Curtillo.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we recess to 1:30.
Senator Curtillo moves and ask unanimous consent. Senate stand in recess until 1:30. Without objection, Senator Richard. Senator, come to order.
I'll see you later. The boss is
coming.
Mr. Porter?
Something.
Let's go. Senate come to order. We have before us in second reading Senate Bill 716. We have rescinded our action in adopting Amendment Number 1 amended. The question before us is the adoption of Amendment Number 1. Senator Ferguson. I'm sorry. House Bill 198.
Senator Ferguson. I move Nash unanimous consent that Amendment Number 1 and the amendment be withdrawn.
Senator Ferguson moves Nash unanimous consent that Amendment Number 1 be withdrawn. Is there objection? Without objection. Amendment number one is withdrawn. Are there further amendments?
There are no further amendments.
Senator Burton.
Mr. President, I'd just like to say that Kellyan were here, approximately 60% of the National Guard are scouts.
Senator Curtillo.
Don't say that one,
Mr. President, absent further amendments, I'm asking us to consent to House Bill 198 amendment grows faster to be placed on
file. Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 198 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on the final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading House Bill 198.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 198, Finance, amended Senate. An act relating to credit for military service in computing retirement benefits for state employees and providing for an effective date.
Discussion. Ready to vote. The question is, House Bill 198 passed the Senate. Senators may proceed to vote. The senator voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
There are 18 yeas, no nays.
Senator Curtillo. Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent to vote on the bill. We consider the vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then, House Bill 198 with an effective date clause. We have before us in second reading Senate Bill 716.
Senate Bill Number 716 by the Commerce Committee by request of Legislative Council Subcommittee on Mortuary Science. An act relating to funerals and the practice of mortuary science and providing for an effective date. The Commerce Committee had this bill under consideration and reports it back as follows. Senator Curtillo, Chairman, and Senator Ziegler signed no recommendation. Senator Willis signed, do pass. I have three amendments.
Mr. President, Amendment 1 probably should be read. Amendment 1 and 2, as I understand, are just technical amendments that were advised by staff and administration. They're not substantive, or very incidentally, of some small substance. There's technical amendments to the bill that was developed by the intern committee. They don't speak to substance. Mr. President, I would move Amendment 1.
Senator Curtillo moves the adoption of Amendment Number 1. The Secretary will read Amendment Number 1.
Amendment Number 1 by the Commerce Committee, page 1, line 13. After regulations, insert and set fees.
Senator Curtillo.
Mr. President, setting fees is typical of all regulatory boards. Certain fees have to be charged. Every one of them do it. This was just an oversight. And I'd ask unanimous consent.
Senator Curtillo, I ask unanimous consent to the adoption of Amendment Number 1. Is there objection? Without objection. Amendment Number 1 is adopted.
Amendment Number 2 by the Commerce Committee?
Yes.
Which is Amendment Number 2?
The list of changing annuals to biannuals, getting them in conformity with other legislation, other board commissions.
The first part of Amendment Number 2 is to page 1, line 26. It's a three-page amendment. Does every senator have a copy of that?
They were passed out before
the... Without objection, the reading of Amendment Number 2 will be waived. Senator Curtillo, you have the floor.
Again, they don't speak to the substance. of the bill particularly. They just are recommended technical amendments to this legislation to be developed by the Insurance Committee. I'd ask unanimous consent.
Senator Petrillo moves and asks unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 2. Is there objection? Without objection, Amendment Number 2 is adopted. I have before us Amendment Number 3.
Amendment Number 3 by Senator Miller, page 8, line 27.
That's a two-page amendment. Does every senator have a copy of that? Senator Miller?
Mr. President, I move the adoption of
Amendment. Senator Miller moves the adoption of Amendment Number 3. You have it for us, Senator Miller.
Mr. President, very briefly, I think as a result of practices that were well publicized in the Navy, I presume plagued other areas of the state, the bill is much needed, as turned out by the Commerce Committee. In conversations, however, with the Commissioner of Commerce, he did indicate he was concerned with one section of the bill and one section only with the cleanup amendments that Senator Petrillo has offered. And that is the section which would require trust account requiring 100% deposit of any money on the pre-need purchase of burial sites and the like. The commissioner feels that this would probably, for all practical purposes, stop practice of pre-sales entirely. And I don't think that was the intent of the bill. I don't believe it was the intent of the Commerce Committee. This bill, the amendment would require that the certificate of authority be granted by the department, so you would get away from the procedure where fly designers would come in, pre-sale, and then give the state. In addition to that, a trust agreement is required, but it allows the negotiation between the parties as to what percentage of the prepayment would be placed in the trust agreement. The commissioner feels that these two things, the certificate of authority to operate by the department, as well as the requirement for some kind of trust arrangement, would adequately protect the consumer and accomplish essentially the laudable goals that is contained in the original bill. I ask unanimous.
Senator Miller asks unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 3. Is there objection?
Well, I just object for a second.
Senator Curtillo,
the Commerce Committee took pretty much the summer's effort of the committee that was handling this, and I'd like to hear from Senator Willis on this particular amendment.
Well, Senator Willis?
Mr. President, in reviewing this, I can see no objection to it. In fact, I would rather think it would strengthen the bill. Specific regard to consumer protection.
I withdraw. Senator Curtillo withdraws his objection. Is there further objection? Without objection, then Amendment Number 3 adopted. I have before us Amendment Number 4. Is there an Amendment Number 4?
I have no Amendment Number 4.
Are there any further amendments?
There are no further amendments.
Senator Curtillo?
President, absence of further amendments, I move and ask unanimous consent. Senate Bill 716 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed final passage.
Senator Petrillo moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 716 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading Senate Bill 716.
Senate Bill Number 716, amended by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to funerals and the practice of mortuary science and providing for an effective date.
Your discussion. Senator Willis.
Mr. President, as the body well knows, I served on a task force covering mortuary science through the end. Many times I was the only member of that task force that worked substantially with the morticians of the state. They were the ones that came down last year and saw the need of specific legislation to strengthen the laws that we now have. Alaska presently is on the bottom of the list, if you will, as to what we have on the books regarding this particular area. We worked through many, many work sessions and meetings trying to resolve some of the differences that existed between the various groups within the state. In the beginning, I had grave concerns as to whether we could resolve it. But eventually, all the differences were buried. And as I go through this bill, if this body cares to exhume any of the portions of the bill, for a senatorial autopsy, I'm sure that I can probably answer your questions. Really, I suppose I should apologize. I wasn't trying to be facetious, but I just had to get that out. With specific regards to the bill, it primarily serves two functions. It's an occupational licensing bill and a consumer. It has consumer protection sections. And I'll very quickly go through this, addressing the main body of the license. Of the bill. Licensing and enforcement is placed now in the Department of Commerce. Presently, it's in revenue. There is no board dealing with this. There is a dual licensing feature. The dual licensing feature was one of the principal areas of dispute to begin with. We settled on this. We license an embalmer. He gets a full license. The funeral director has a limited license. He may do anything an embalmer can do except embalm or restore a dead human body, take charge of remains if death was from a communicable disease, see, prepare the body of a person dead from a communicable disease for transportation. There are grandfather rights. This doesn't put anyone that's presently in business out of business. I was very careful to point out that that's one provision that I felt that this legislature would want to see enacted in a bill of this sort. A licensed embalmer, with regard to the grandfather rights, the licensed embalmer with 1 year's practice can continue. A funeral director with 1 year practice, not currently licensed, so that this cannot be required. There are exceptions for the rural area. You know, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, it's a beautiful day, and I'll tell you, I think that I'll just sit down, and if there are any questions, I'll be very happy to answer them, but I would urge its passage.
Mr. President, I'll
Senator Killian, I know you're about to die to speak on this.
Man, it's this corner. I'm speaking in opposition to the bill. I'm in hopes we'll defeat the whole bill. This is not a consumer protection bill. This is a mortician's protection bill. It's designed to take care of them, not the person who has to face the expenses entailed with it. And yes, they have something for the rural area. In areas of the state not served by a person licensed to practice mortuary science, they can get a permit. The only trouble is that as soon as a mortician makes a contact in the area to hold the body and has a plane schedule arrangement to come into an area, you're stuck with paying his fee schedules. And in much of Alaska today, it's just a case of a neighbor building the box. You might hire the carpenter, you might hire somebody there to do the job, including the grave digging and the whole works. And under this bill, it's only permitted in those areas not served by a mortician, and you can be doggone sure if there's any amount of business that they'll make up a roving collection. And instead of paying $50, $60, $70 or $100 to lay somebody away, you'll be paying $1,500, $1,600, $2,000 for the job. I can go through item by item, like has satisfactorily completed at least 2 years at an accredited college or university. Is this, you know, what you need is health and sanitation laws and requirements, consumer protection, as such as the reusing of coffins, you know, and things that are flatly illegal. But let's not build into the highest paid profession in the United States today. It's the only thing that outdoes prostitution and is far less honorable in many of its side effects. All I can say is that what you do is you pick on those that can least afford, the widows and the family of those having to face the bill. And this is a mortician's protection bill.
not one for the protection of the public, and this should be understood fairly early. Though there are some items in here that I wouldn't mind seeing in regular law enforced by public health, but most of those are already on the statute.
Questions?
Right, sir.
Further discussion?
Questions?
Senator Kutubis. Mr. President, a great deal of effort was expended this under Willis and Dalton's legislation. I had great concern about some of the things to which have been touched upon. The occupational licensing part, I wasn't certain I approved, and I do think it does lock in morticians now into a select category beyond what's necessary. On the other hand, there is a great deal of consumer protection in here that you can support. So I'm not going to recommend for or against it. My vote this time is truly no recommendation.
What? Further discussion? Senator Ryder.
I like some of the aspects of the bill which relates to the posting of prices and so on and so forth, and I don't mind the licensing. But I'm really concerned about the items here. For instance, on both, you have two, as Senator Willis said, you have two systems of licensing. You have one is of the embalmer, and the other is of the director of the funeral home. I can see the embalmer has to handle, has a little bit more technical thing to do. But why should the director of a funeral home, for example, as a matter of law, have to have 2 years of college? As a matter of law. It doesn't mean that he can't pass a test, but why should he have to have 2 years of college why should he have to have completed at least 1 year as an apprenticeship under a person? What they're really saying is that a mortician or an embalmer or somebody who wants to go into business up here, the first thing he's got to do is come up here and work with somebody and apprentice through there. You're really kind of trying to keep them out, tending to, or say that they've got to come up here and join the club and be under the club supervision for a year. I think the bill goes to, incidentally, I think there are tremendous abuses in this. As a practicing attorney, I've seen what I thought were really extraordinary abuses by these people, unconscionable charges and oversell and the rest of it, because they hit people and they're in a pretty defenseless situation usually, the near relatives that are involved in. So I think there's some good aspects to the bill. I don't know whether those things which tend to make a closed shop and tend to be a protective thing for morticians and embalmers could be deleted from the bill without gutting the bill. It would have to take some work to do it, I imagine. But I just can't in good conscience think that we ought to try to close that shop or require a thing like apprenticeship, which seems to be like an attempt to do that.
But
Senator Jones?
I'd like to point out to Senator Rader that it would occur to me that perhaps we would need some people of intelligence and with a great deal of practice in order to successfully cover up the mistakes of the malpracticing doctors.
Well, Mr. President, can I tell you?
I'm fairly serious about this. I think we can just, if you cover the transportation of bodies, the communicable diseases, yes, we should maybe beef up our laws, beef up the consumer protection so that people don't get defrauded. I went up to pick up the only son of a friend of mine killed in an aircraft in Seldovia, and the mortician was explaining the costs and the charges for shipping this out, and I said, well, I'd like to take a look at the coffins. And he said, well, there's been a terrible accident. There's a lot laying around in there. I said, now come now. I've seen that before. Let's go look. He had three prices but one coffin. And I do think that there are some of these abuses that you need to protect. But you also need to protect the people in a home in a small area, and maybe not so small. It happens in the outskirts of Anchorage, too, who can get a friend who's a carpenter to build it, and as long as you bury the body within 24 hours, which is law today, and there's no embalming involved, you can get friends to do the job for you at almost nothing. And I can remember one we did in Homer, and we had a fight to get the body back from one in Anchorage, and built our own plywood box and buried this man and gave the money that the mortician was going to collect, both his veterans and Social Security, to the widow so that she had something to live on. And I just say that what you're going to do is you're going to cut out the friends of the bereaved or somebody who will do just a workmanlike job on building a coffin and burying the person in a local cemetery from the business. Any area that has a mortician, and you're going to have somebody else hired to do the job. Now, I see that Ed's ready to stand up and say, well, no, if they do it for nothing, it's not covered. But what you do is you hire somebody who just builds the box and has a backhoe and actually puts the body in. You take it to the church, and sometimes in a fairly nice plywood box, have your service, haul it out, and complete the burial, and it's very inexpensive. And don't close this loophole. Don't pass laws that lock your morticians in. It's not to the best interests of our constituents statewide. If you want to protect somebody from being double charged, this alone isn't enough. Pass your consumer protection legislation without mandatory things like what university you went to, and that you may only may issue a permit to an unlicensed person on an annual basis for the care and disposition for compensation. But it says in areas of the state not served by a person licensed to practice. So as soon as it's an area of the state where there is a person licensed to practice, that person's out. I say we're doing a disservice to our constituents for a very little bit of protection that we can address much better in separate legislation.
Further discussion? Well, you ready to vote, Senator Wells?
I'm not going to beat this to death.
Senator Ziegler?
Some of the criminal sanctions imposed are kind of stiff.
Further discussion? You ready to vote? Senator Ryder?
Can I ask Senator Willis one question? What would happen if you had a small town Indigent, say, if you had one person licensed? Does that mean everybody in Indigent would have to go to him, and he would be the only one that would be an area that's served by a licensed person? Do it his way with his ideas?
Well, Senator Willis? Mr. President, apparently the problem is that Indigent and the small communities, you know, don't have any licensed morticians there. The department now can issue a permit to someone to handle, a body. And usually, as I understand it, it can be a public health nurse or someone who is willing to, you know, to handle these arrangements. Now, if ADVIC had a licensed mortician, I would presume that it would be just like it would be in Anchorage or anywhere else. You'd have somebody there that's licensed and is prepared to handle these particular cases. This bill doesn't infringe in any way upon the practices in the rural areas now. You know, we're very careful not to, because we do understand that there is, you know, differences of cultural differences and what have you throughout the state. And this, you know, as far as I can determine, doesn't do anything to prohibit, you know, what's presently being done.
Chair, does this control prices for caskets? And does the board or anybody set prices, or does it deal with that?
Senator Willis?
No, there is no, there's nothing in here that sets prices. What you have here in this bill that we don't have now, and this is patterned after some, and we looked at some proposed FTC regulations. It does provide for the disclosure of costs at the time of need. At the time the arrangements are made, the funeral director has to disclose the cost as outlined in the bill. You know, so that the person knows, or the the family or whoever's making the arrangements knows what the cost is. Now this, presently, there's no requirement for this. And this feature alone is a pretty substantial step forward with regard to consumer protection.
Well, Senator Huber?
I have a question of the sponsor, if I may. I'd like to know if there is anywhere buried in the bill, if there's anywhere in the bill a provision to control a practice by morticians that has been going on of requiring a casket anyway in case a person is to be cremated. We know that a lot of them are doing that. And is it anywhere buried in the bill to stop that or to prevent it or either to authorize it?
Senator Willis?
Mr. President, are you referring to the reuse of casket, like the case that happened in Acton several years ago?
No, Senator Huber?
Mr. President, I'm referring to the mortician requiring that you have to have a casket for somebody who is to be cremated.
No,
some do and some don't.
Mr. President, no, there is no requirement for a casket. We question some of the funeral directors on this, and we were told that arrangements can be made to hold services where they just lay the person out with appropriate blankets and sheets and actually no casket involved. It's not a requirement prior to cremation.
Senator Wright?
Well, Mr. President, maybe I'm missing something in this bill, but this seems to me that what this is doing is it's licensing two people or two types of people. If a guy wants to practice mortuary science and be an embalmer, he has to pass certain things. If he wants to be a funeral director, he has to pass certain other things. But if he wants to bury his dead brother, doesn't say anything about that in there. Doesn't say that you have to be a mortician in order to bury your dead brother or to get a carpenter to build a box or anything else. If it's in there, I fail to see it. It also says the department has a jurisdiction over the practice of mortuary science, and they may adopt and enforce regulations, but nowhere in here does it say anything other than what happens or what a man has to do if he wants to make a living as an embalmer or as a funeral director. It has nothing to do with, that I can see of an individual being buried by his brother. I haven't seen it.
Senator Killian?
I'm not even talking about buried by his brother. I'm talking of hiring some local person in town to do the job. And if you go to page 2, line 1 to begin with, in areas of the state not served by a person licensed to practice mortuary science, the department may issue a permit to an unlicensed person on an annual basis for the care and disposition of dead human bodies for compensation. This permit otherwise in no way licenses the holder to practice mortuary science, which means that in areas where this is being done now, it can continue until some mortician decides he wants the business and moves in. And then the area is no longer not served by a mortician. And that is preempted. That's what it's very plain that's what it says. Now, I'd like to ask one question of Mr. Willis. Who requested the bill?
Senator Willis?
Mr. President, as I understand it, as a result of the case in Anchorage several years ago in which one of the morticians up there was charged with the selling of a used casket, and the subsequent case that was involved there, the last administration had, as I understand it, proposed legislation to strengthen the laws that we have on the state, or have on the books in the state now. The last administration apparently didn't get this particular legislation proposed in time or whatever. The funeral directors themselves were quite concerned about this, and a number of them did come down last year, and they discussed this problem with a number of legislators, and I happen to be one of them. And it convinced me that something should be done. And after reviewing the the information that was given and asking questions, I had to agree. And the Legislative Council, after the introduction of the first bill, Representative Byrne introduced a bill. I had contemplated introducing a bill along with Senator Chance, and it was decided that a lot of work had to be done on this. And it was a recommendation of Senator Chance and the Legislative Council that we have an interim study on it. And that's the way it developed.
Mr. President.
Senator Curtillo.
One thing more. I think the more ethical and the ethical funeral home directors, morticians recommended that we close the gaps in some of the disturbing problems that affected primarily the populated areas. This is an attempt at solving the problems they brought before us, and it's a very honest attempt resulting from a lot of hard work. Many of us do find licensing provisions in anathema. I've been involved in establishing boards and commissions that I felt haven't functioned properly, have tended to lock out competition, and for that reason I have a problem with the bill. But insofar as it's an honest attempt to solve problems in the urban area, but licensing laws are general and cover the whole state, this is the best that you can arrive at. You do surely have some serious problems, particularly in Anchorage, and I suspect the other urban areas, in those people that are not ethical practicing this profession. And they're trying to keep it in the future somewhat under check. And that's what this is all about.
Question.
Further, Senator Rader.
President, I still have a problem that I touched on before and Senator Killian has, and that's the problem with Higgy Dick. Let's assume that if I know if I go to Higgy Dick and get a license, everybody in Higgy Dick is going to have to go through me. Or else then they're going to have to pay my fee, or else I can say, or you can take the Anchorage, or you can have a casket flown out or something else. This is my price. I'm here. I'm the only one that's licensed here. If you take my price, or there's no price. And it just seems to me like whether you intended to do that or not, that's what you have done here in areas which would be served by one person.
Senator Chance?
It appears to me that what this bill is doing is trying to regulate the mortuary science that the people engaged in it commercially. It does not prohibit private handlings of your own family members, etc., as now occurs. It's saying that if you are putting yourself up before the public as a funeral home director or as an embalmer and doing this as commercially, then you're going to have to adhere to some principles, and the principles are laid out here. It does not say at any time that you cannot bury your brother, or you cannot continue the practice in the smaller communities of the friends and families getting together and handling the matter. Because it's not saying you can't bury somebody without a license. It's really saying that if you're holding yourself out as a funeral home director or as an embalmer, then you're going to have to meet some standards. So this is an attempt to regulate the industry, not regulate the private burials.
Senator Weaver?
I don't know that question for Senator Willis, if I may. I wonder if during the times of your deliberations on this bill, if you did any looking into whether this is going to substantially increase the costs of disposing of the dead or decrease the cost or what the effect would be.
Further discussion?
Question.
Senator Ferguson?
May we have a brief at each time?
Senator Kennedy?
President, I move an action as consent to Senate Bill 7160 held over second reading Monday's calendar. Or in the President's third reading.
Senator reading. Senator Curtillo moves an action as consent that Senate Bill 7160 be held in third reading until Monday's calendar. Is there objection? Without objection. Appear in third reading on Monday. Senator Ray?
Mr. President, through the chair, I wonder if I could ask the chairman of the Labor Committee to please address himself also to those who are dead from the shoulders up.
Goodbye, Bill.
We have in the second reading House Bill 624.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 624 by the Finance Committee, an act establishing a revolving fund to provide for public facility planning and provide for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Huber, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Miller, Ferguson, Meeland, and Coletta. The Finance Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends it do pass with an amendment. Signed that recommendation was Senator Bill Ray, Chairman, concurred in by Senators, Senator Ray signed no recommendation, as did Senators Chance and Poland. Signing do pass were Senators Butrovich, Sackett, Rader, and Ferguson. There is an amendment number one by the Finance, page 1, line 12. After Department of Administration, insert Division of Budget and Management. Page 1, line 16, delete for which money from the fund has been spent, insert and 3, and money reimbursed to it from appropriations for any projects for which money from the fund has been spent.
Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, I move the adoption of the amendment.
Senator Ferguson moves the adoption of the amendment number 1. You have the floor, Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, the Department of Public Works requested the amendments, and the Finance Committee agreed with the amendments, not asked unanimous consent.
Senator Ferguson asks unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment. Is your objection? That objection. Number 1 is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no further amendments.
Senator Curtillo.
Absence of further amendments, Mr. President, I move to ask unanimous consent to House Bill 624 be considered gross, advanced third reading, place of final passage.
Senator Curtillo moves and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 624 be advanced from second to third reading, placed before you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading, House Bill 624.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 624, amended Senate, an act establishing a revolving fund to provide for public facility planning and providing for an effective date.
Sir, Senator Chan.
I'm really wanting to say that if the only experience that I have with anything like this is a highway working capital fund, and looking at the unholy mess that has created in the budgets of all the other departments, I don't know if this has been working better.
Further discussion? You ready to vote? The question is, shall House Bill 624 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted. Secretary, I'll lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary, I'll take the roll.
There are 16 yeas, 3 nays.
Senator Curtillo.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent to vote on the bill to consider the vote on the effective date clause.
Senator Curtillo moves and ask unanimous consent to vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then, House Bill 624 with an effective date clause. Senator Rody.
Mr. President, I move my notice of reconsideration on House Bill 624.
Senator Rody's notice of reconsideration will be noted in the journal. We have before us and...
Mr. President.
Senator Fuller. Without objection, you have the floor.
It gives me a great deal of pleasure today to introduce a classmate of mine from the University of Washington, former Seward girl who is up here visiting Commissioner McNary and myself. This is Marion Higgins from California.
Senator Curtillo.
Mr. President, I don't believe that this press has been introduced this year. In any event, a very distinguished Alaskan, Mr. Bill Ray.
Senator Curtillo.
Mr. President, several other people in the gallery, and I don't have a politician's facility for names, but one of them that I know very well is representing the trailer park owners in the state down here on legislation before our committee, Mr. Bob Penny.
Senator Stanley. Senator Curtillo.
Mr. President, I would move and ask consent to balance calendar be held over until Monday's calendar.
Senator Curtillo. Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent to balance the calendar be held until Monday. Senator Ray objects.
Mr. President,
the other bill's up in reconsideration now.
You maintain your objection?
Privately.
Senator Wade withdraws his objection publicly. Is there further objection? Without objection. Until Monday, Senator Huber.
Mr. President, I move that we take up the reconsideration of Senate Bill 737.
Yep. have before us third reading, Senate Bill 737.
We don't have such a bill on reconsideration.
Senate stand at ease. There's no reconsideration given on Senate Bill 737. That's already been transmitted to the House. There was reconsideration on bring us down to unfinished business. Special orders.
President.
Senator Bradley.
I'd like to report back to introduction.
Without objection, you have the floor.
It gives me great pleasure to introduce several successful businessmen that are here to contest the file bills in the Commerce Committee. Mr. Jerry Budd from Anchorage, Mr. Newton Helgeland from Anchorage, and Mr. Tony Cornell from Fairbanks.
Senator Petula.
Thank you, Senator, and I apologize to the gentleman for not having the names.
Further special orders? Announcement of committee meetings? Senator Ray.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Under fear of duress, personal injury, Finance Committee will meet at 2:30, and we'll also meet tomorrow in subcommittees, and we'll meet Saturday in subcommittees. Sunday you can have off, and Monday at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Senator Ziegler.
The judiciary meeting scheduled for this afternoon, Mr. President, would like to have its entirety, and we'll take it up for all the bills we have posted next Tuesday together with the final draft, I hope, of the generic drug bill.
Senator Ferguson.
The Senate House will meet Monday at 3:30, and the conference committee on the committee substitute for Senate Bill number 398 will meet right after adjournment.
Ready?
Mr. President, the regularly scheduled Community Regional Affairs Committee meeting is canceled for the day. We will be holding no more regular meetings for the balance of the session on the special committee for this meeting.
Chair Huber.
Mr. President, the Senate State Affairs will meet its regular at 5:00 p.m. today. The bills will be posted.
Senator Cotulla.
Mr. President, we accept for a real compaction day in Commerce. Everything will be canceled except the 2:30 meeting with the Alaska General Contractors Group on Senate Bill 411 and the 3 o'clock meeting on Forest Practices Act. So we'll be meeting at 2:30, and then we'll probably have a few minutes recess, and then we'll be meeting on a hearing on Forest Practices at 3, Senate Commerce.
Further announcements?
Mr. President, there's nothing more to come before this body. I move and ask unanimous consent that we adjourn until 10 a.m. Monday.
Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent. We stand in adjournment until 10 o'clock Monday morning. Without objection.